Today's shiur is Masechet Menachos Daf Chaf Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud Kisol Graf Kahana. A word of introduction as we begin our shiur Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. There is a concept that we're going to be working with in today's shiur called Tziruv Keli. Tziruv Keli means that when you have different objects in a keli, different items in one keli, the fact that they're all in one keli is mitzarf that makes them all combine into one entity, even if they're not actually touching. The source where we find the makar that we find the din of tziruv keli in the Torah actually is a pasuk by the kabbonis of the Nesiim, because the Torah says by the kabbonis of the Nesiim, kaf achas meleik tyrus. The Torah, by using the words kaf achas meleik tyrus, teaches us that everything in the kaf, everything that's in one kaf, is considered one and the same. And in fact, it's very nice. The Mefarshim point out that even though, as we've already learned, this carbon brought by the Nesiim was a one-time event, still, since, as we've already learned this concept in previous shurim, the Torah mentions this halacha, this event, and the exact kabbalas that the Nesiim brought so many different times, it's an indication that even though it was something that happened only one time, it can serve as a source to learn other halachas from it. Furthermore, the Meshech Chachma points out that by the kabbalas that the Nesiim brought, it wasn't only that the kaf achas malay iris was brought, but he says There were many other kabbalas brought in different vessels. Why specifically do we learn this halacha from the words kaf achas malei k'tayrus? So he says because the k'tayrus is a dry item, and the chiddush here is that even though it's k'tayrus, that each particle, each granule remains separate, still the Torah is teaching us with those words kaf achas that whatever is in one kaf malei k'tayrus is kaf achas, it's all considered mitzuref, it's all considered combined if it's in one keli. And our Gemara will teach us that so too is the halacha in different areas, that the one keli is mitzaref everything in it. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean that the halacha views everything that's in one keli as if they're all touching each other? That's one way that the Mefarshim suggest we should look at this halacha. Another way that the Mefarshim suggest that we should look at this halacha is that the Torah is actually teaching us that if they're not touching, they're not touching. It's only that there's a new rule, that since they're in one keli, even though the items in this keli are not touching each other, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that they're in one keli will be adequate. And we'll see if these two ways of understanding this halacha will be relevant to la halacha, will be relevant to some of the issues we discuss as we get into the shiur. So again, begins the Gemara Kisol Graf Kahana. Rav Kahana came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Ashkechinu lebnei Rav Chiya de Yasir Kamri. He met the Rebbe Rav Chiya was sitting and learning, and said the following: we know that a karban mincha, as we have been learning, must come from an isorin of flour. And they discussed isorin shechalku. If the isorin that they brought the karban mincha was divided into two, v'niyah b'bisa, and it was put into the bowl and the klisharis, v'nagot tfilyoin be'echemehem, and the tfilyoin touched one half of isorin, mahu, what will be the halacha regarding the other half? And the Gemara's question is, Kitanan, this halacha that we began our shiur today with, the kli mitzarf mash v'toichel l'kodesh, that whatever is in one keli becomes combined, is it only hani mili heichid the nagi ba'adadi, where the items and the vessels touch each other, avo heicha the loy nagi ba'adadi, if they're not touching loy, then they are not going to be combined, or perhaps there is no nafkamina, and the fact that they're in one keli is adequate.
Rashi and the Rishonim go into great lengths to discuss why does the Gemara, when it wants to ask this question, speak specifically that it was touched by a Tful Yoyim, that type of a Tamei, which we know that the Tful Yoyim is a very low level Tumah. A Tful Yoyim is an individual who was Tamei, became tar by going to the mikveh, but did not yet have Herv Shemesh. And why didn't we discuss a higher level of Tumah? Why specifically a Tful Yoyim? So Rishonim point out that there's a very specific lesson to be learned from the fact that we're speaking specifically about a Tful Yoyim. And there's a number of ways of understanding it. One way of understanding is that any other person who was Tamei, if he would touch the Kli Sharis, he would make the Kli Sharis Tamei, and therefore everything in the Kli Sharis would be Tamei by extension. However, a Tful Yoyim does not have that ability, and since the Tful Yoyim does not have the ability to be Matama everything that's in the Kli Sharis, that's why we're speaking about a Tful Yoyim, that type of Tumah did not happen. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that if the Tful Yoyim were to touch the food in the Keli, if a regular Tamei person were to touch the food in the Kli Sharis, and then that food touches the Kli Sharis, and then the Kli Sharis is touching the rest of the food, so then by extension, everything will be Tamei. But since we're only speaking about an individual who's a Tful Yoyim, a Tful Yoyim doesn't have that ability. And since the Tful Yoyim doesn't have that ability, it's only the actual food that he touches that becomes Tamei. But he doesn't have the ability that the food that he touches should then by extension be Matamah the Kli Sharis, which will be Matamah the other food in that Keli. So the Mishnah was specifically therefore speaking about a Tful Yoyim. And again, therefore the Gemara's question is, can the Tful Yoyim touching one part of the one half of the Sorin that's in the Kli Sharis affect the other half that's in the Kli Sharis? And as the Rishonim point out, the question that the Gemara here is discussing is not limited to this case as well. Only it would refer to other situations as well. What would be the other situations it refers to? So I saw a number of cases. One is, we know that food, in order to become Tamei, has to be Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah. And the question here is, if we have two foods in a Kli Sharis that need to become Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah, and a Tful Yoyim, or somebody Tamei, only touched one half, will the other half be considered Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah? Or, another Nafka Mina is that, although this is the subject of a Machloikus Rishonim, there are Rishonim that say, the opinion of Tosfos, that in order for a food to become Tamei, you need to have the minimal shear of a kebeya of food to be Makabel Tumah. And let's say you did not have all of the shear of kebeya of food in one place. Rather, the way you had the kebeya was by combining two parts within one keli. Could the two parts of a beya size of food, an egg size of food, combine because they're in one keli, that they should be mekabel tumah? Amalei ihu, to which Rav Kahana responded, mitnan kli mechaber. Does it say, when the word is used, does it say kli mechaber? All it says is kli mitzaref tnan. It teaches us that the kli is mitzaref. So as we try to explain, the word mechaber and the word mitzaref are not synonymous. Mechaber means that they actually have to be touching. And if they're not actually touching, it will not be considered a connection. Whereas, when we use the word mitzaref, it comes to teach us as long as they're in one keli, even though they're not touching, the fact that they're in one keli is adequate to create a situation of tziruf. So continues the Gemara and asking the question. Now that we've identified that there is a concept of tziruf, and therefore, if there are two halves of the Karban Mincha in one plisharis, and a tefillah yarim touches one half, it will affect the other half. Now the question comes up as follows. And first we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. What will be the halacha if hoshit echad lebnayim? We know, as we said before, the shear of a karban mincha is an isarin. Two half isarins is one karban mincha. Ask the Gemara, what will be the halacha if somebody brought into this keli sharis an extraneous, a third half isarin, and he touched that, and tefillin touched that half isarin? Mahu? What will be the halacha? Will the other two halves become tamei? Amluhu, to which he responded, Sorach l'keli, only what is required to be in this keli has this din of tziruf, ain't tzarach l'keli, but whatever doesn't belong in this keli, ain't kli mitzarfoi, there is no din of tziruf. And therefore, again, according to the way Rashi learns, by the tfuyoin touching this third half, which doesn't belong in the kli sharis, since it's an item that doesn't belong in the kli sharis, the din of tziruf will not apply to that. But it turns out that according to Rashi, if somebody were to touch one of the two halves that do belong in the kli sharis, one of the two halves that are part of the karban mincha that is under discussion, there Rashi would agree, there according to Rashi, the din that we began the shiur with, the din of tziruf, would very much be applicable. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam, however, has a different way of understanding. The Rambam says that the Gemara is teaching us a much more powerful thing. And that according to the Rambam, what the Gemara is teaching us is that since this third half is sorin, which isn't part of the Karban Mincha that's being put into the Kli Sharis, is in there, it doesn't belong in there. And since it doesn't belong in there, it serves as a hefsik between the two halves that are there. And therefore, according to the Rambam, what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though we began the shir by teaching that if there are two halves of a karban mincha in one kli sharis, if somebody touches one half, the other half, because it's in the same keli, will become tamei. That's if there's nothing else between those two halves. But if the case that we're now discussing, that there's another half in between these two klisharis, between these two halves, that doesn't belong there, that will be considered a hefsek, and the din of tziruf will therefore not apply. Furthermore, the mefarshim, the chazanish, and other mefarshim discuss what is considered something that doesn't belong in the klisharis. Certainly the case that our Gemara identified, where somebody brought a third half of a sarin, which isn't part of the Karban Mincha under discussion, is certainly considered something that doesn't belong in the Kli Sharis. However, discuss the Mefarshim, let's say there's something that doesn't belong there, but it doesn't not belong there. In other words, in the case that the Gemara speaks about, where we have this third half of a sarin that's, as the Rambam just taught us, is a hefsek, we can understand why the din of tziruf doesn't apply. But what would be the halacha? Let's give an example. What would be the halacha if somebody puts two isarin, two holy isarin, in one kli sharis? So the truth of the matter is, each isarin deserves its own kli sharis. But there is no specific issue with having two isarin of two different karban mincha in one kli sharis. Into what category will that fall? Says the Chazanish, as long as it isn't an item that has to be removed from the Kli Sharis, like the Hafi Sarin that we just discussed, that it serves as an extraneous item in this Kli Sharis, as long as it isn't that severe, it doesn't fall into the category of Ein Tzarech L'Keli. And therefore, according to the Chazanish, if you'll have these two items in the Kli Sharis, two holy sarin in the Kli Sharis, the din of tziruf will apply. Other Achrayim disagree. They say that no, that tziruf only applies to items that need to be combined. items that don't need to be combined, even though there is nothing wrong with them appearing in one klisharis, we can't apply the concept of tzirif. And perhaps this machlokes achronim is dependent on how we understand what tzirif accomplishes. If tzirif accomplishes that the two items are considered as if they're touching, so when do I need items to touch? I need items to touch, items that we need to combine. And therefore, only in the case, for example, of the two chatzi yisarin, will we say the concept of tzirif, not by two holy sarins. But if we understand that what does tzirif teach us, if we understand that tzirif teaches us that as long as something is in one keli, and as the Chazon Ish says, as long as there's nothing wrong with those items being in the keli, the fact that they're in one keli combines them, so then the halacha could be, perhaps, that as the Chazon Ish indeed indicates, that as long as there is no reason to specifically have to remove it from the kli sharis, the halacha will be that it could remain there. Another question. Hoshit tfuyoyim es etzbar beineyim. If the tfuyoyim didn't actually touch either half isarin that's in the kli sharis, just he put his hands into the kli sharis, will that be enough to combine everything in the kli sharis? Mahu. What is the halacha? Amlo, to which Rav Kahana responded, Ein lecha davish v'tamah be'yaviroi. Just because something is suspended in the ear of a keli, there is no concept of tama ela by kli charis. And therefore, the suspension of the tfilyoyim's hand in the kli charis has no halachic validity, and therefore cannot create tama. So Mefarshim, the Rishonim, already tried to understand what was the Gemara's havamina. The Gemara began because the Tfilyoyim touched one half. So how would the Gemara even have a havamina just because he suspended his hand into the kli sharis? That should be enough to create tzirif. So the Rishonim respond that, again, as we said from the beginning of our shir, we are referring here to kli sharis. And when we've been discussing in our previous shurim kli sharis, we know there's a concept of avir kli sharis, that the ear of the kli sharis does have a kedusha. And therefore the Gemara was thinking that since there's a halacha of avir kli sharis, maybe the tfilyoyim's hand in the avir kli sharis should also create such a situation. To which the Gemara answered, we don't say the halacha of avir kli sharis under such circumstances. But then I saw a very interesting question. What would be the halacha if you'll have a kli sharis which is made out of cheris, and the tfilyoy suspended his hand into that type of kli sharis? How are we to understand the Gemara's point? Are we to understand the Gemara's point that the reason why avir is ineffective is because it's not a kli cheris, and only by kli cheris is there a din that tumah is transmitted just by the suspension in the ear? The famous case that if there's a sheretz suspended in the ear of a kli cheris, that kli cheris becomes tameh. And therefore, if that's the way to understand the Gemara, so could well be indeed that if the kli cheris was made out of cheris, just the tfilyoyim's mere suspension of his hand in that kli cheris would indeed create that everything in it is combined for tumah. Or are we to understand the Gemara that the rule of tzirif in a kli sharis, as we'll see as we get into the shir further, represents a chumrah? And where was that chumrah said? Only if the tfilyoyim is actually touching one of the items. But if he's not touching one of the items, to say this chiddush, that there should be combination, may be too much to say, even by kli cheris. Continues the Gemara. Hada ibay minay. Now another question was asked. Ma likmet mezel ze. If you have these two half isarin in one keli, and the question now is, and you want to take koimetz, can you take koimetz from one half on the other half? What is the question? It's tziruf deraisa or tziruf derabonim. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. if we're going to say that the concept of tziruf is a concept midaraisa. So we apply this concept, whether it comes with, whether it brings a chumrah, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, that all of the items in one keli become combined for tumah, or whether it brings a kula, that you could take kmitza from one part of the other. But if we're going to learn that it's a derabanan, so maybe the rabbanon said their concept of tziruf keli only lechumra, and therefore with the rabbanon, if you're going to have one, two items in the keli, touching one will make that the other one is tamei, because that represents a chumra. But to teach a kula that the kmitza of one should affect the other one, that is not acceptable. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Stipler, in explaining this question according to the Rambam, has a whole different approach. And it's very similar to what we discussed at the beginning of this year. What does tziruf accomplish? Does tziruf accomplish that it's only in one keli? Or does tziruf accomplish not just that it's and that's enough that it should be in one keli? Or does tziruf accomplish that it's gush echad, that it's considered one piece? So now we can understand the Gemara's question very well. If tziruf accomplishes that the fact that if it's in one keli is enough, maybe that isn't enough for kmitza. Because for kmitza, it isn't just enough that it should be in one keli. Kmitza requires gush echad, that it should be considered, it should be one solid piece. Or, ask the Gemara, perhaps for kmitza as well, there is no requirement that it should be gush echad. For kmitza as well, all that's needed is that it should be in one keli, and therefore taking kmitza from one part to the other part will be satisfactory. Amalei, to which they answered, Zuloi Shemanu, we do not hear a specific answer to this question, however, Kiyotz Bashemanu, we heard something similar to Tznan. The Mishnah says, if you have two covered mechas that kmitza was not taken from them, when this arvazu bezuah, now they become mixed together. So we learned in the Mishnah, if kmitza could be taken from each covered mincha, there's enough of an identifiable piece, of covered mincha from which you could take kmitza. It's ksheris and lav tsulis. So let's try to visualize what is the case that we're referring to. The case that we're referring to probably is as follows. We have one keli, and we have the right side of the keli and the left side of the keli. On the right side, we have one karim mincha that's divided into two, and the left side, we have one karim mincha that's divided into two. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if on the extreme right and on the extreme left, we have enough karim mincha from which we can remove a kmitz, then we're fine. But if on the extreme right and the extreme left we don't have enough carbon mincha from which a kmitz can be removed, then it's psulus. But what is the Mishnah saying further? That the rest of the carbon mincha of the right and the rest of the carbon mincha on the left are combined. But also what we're learning is that the carbon mincha on the right is divided into two, and the karma mincha on the left is divided into two. Yet the Mishnah is not disturbed by the fact that these two karma minchas are not all in one piece. Isn't that a clear indication that the karma mincha doesn't have to all be connected for kaimitz to be valid? The Kiyocha Likmites points out the Gemara, as long as kmitz could be accomplished for each kavim mincha, for the one on the right and for the one on the left, meek shaves, it's kosher. But the question is, amai, hach the ma'arif, the part in the middle, where these two kavim minchas are touching to each other, loinoga, are not touching the parts on the right and the left. So why would this be a valid kmitza? Answers the Gemara, amarava, it's not necessarily proof. Dilma magushin ha-mechulokim has suing masri. We're not referring to a situation
where the carbon mincha is so separated into two that there's that we're taking kindness from one part that is not touching the rest of the carbon mincha. It's partially touching, like a comb that partially has teeth and partially has a solid piece. And therefore, since there is some connection, therefore the kmitza would be a valid kmitza. But it could well be that in a case where the chaimetz, the part from where the chaimetz is being removed, is totally separated from the rest of that karbon mincha, kmitza, that kmitza would not be a valid kmitza. So the Gemara still has this question: my havalah, what is the halacha? Amarava, tashma, the tanya, the brisa. In discussing the halakas of kaimitz, says the heirim mimenu mina mechubah, that it all has to be attached. But the brisa goes on to explain that it means shloyavi isorin b'shnei kalim v'yigmitz. You shouldn't bring an isorin into two kalim and take kmitza from divide that isorin between two vessels and take the kaimitz from one for both of them. But what is the brisa seem to be indicating? As long as all of the karbon mincha is in one vessel, even though not all of the ingredients of the karbon mincha are touching each other, it's good enough. As long as it's in one keli, dumma d'shnei kelim, even though it's similar to as if it were in two kelim, because not all of the ingredients in that one keli are touching each other, the yikmites, the halach is kamitz, that you could do kmitz under those circumstances. So it seems that this brice is clearly teaching us that as long as all of the ingredients are in one keli, the halacha is that the kmitz can be done even if they're not all touching each other. There's an interesting question in the Mefarshim: how far to take, if the Gemara is applying this leniency, how far to apply this leniency? Doesn't mean that even if the ingredients of the kmitza are in one keli, so till now we've been learning that they've been all mixed together and they've been divided into two. Well, we now look if the ingredients are separate. You have the flour in one corner and the oil in another corner and the water in another corner. Will that still also be considered a valid way of combining, or that is too separate to be considered a room for combination? Amlavaya, but continues the Gemara that the kraya is not necessarily good raya. Dilma, shnei kelim hechidami. Perhaps, what is the case of shnei kelim? Kivan kfizah b'kava. Where you'll have the following. You'll have one vessel within another vessel. And we'll have the kaimitz ingredient, we'll have the mincha ingredients, partially in the inner vessel and partially in the outer vessel. The afelgav and the interiors go all the way to the top. These two vessels, one vessel within the other, the inner vessel goes all the way to the same height as the outer vessel. The afelgav, they're even meloi, that even though that they're mixed on the top of the rim of these vessels, kiven, the mifsik mechitza defiz mitata, since they're in two totally separate vessels within, the inner vessel is totally separate from the outer vessel. Loi, that's why you can't take kmitza in such a fashion. Kli echad, duri the shnei kelim. But what will be the case where it's going to be considered that it's fine? It'll be a rifta shaltana goylim. The way Rashi explains a rifta shaltana goylim is you have a vessel that has exterior walls, and in the interior there is indeed a separation between the two halves of that vessel, but that separation does not go all the way up to the rim. And since that separation does not go all the way up to the rim, you have a combination of the ingredients above that separation below the rim. That's where, since they're physically combined, even though on the bottom they're not combined, but they're on top they're combined, and that combination is still within the interior of the vessel, that's why a kaimitz for one part could be valid. Because afgab the mechitzta,
even though they're separated on the bottom half of this vessel, hanagia, they are touching within the vessel above the separation of the, on the bottom of the vessel. Avalha, in the case that the Gemara has been discussing, where indeed that all the ingredients are in one vessel, but loy nagia klal, they're not touching at all within that vessel. Indeed, to Bailach, maybe the fact that they're not touching at all prevents us from being able to do a proper kamitza. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rambam explains the Gemara. So according to Rashi, as long as they're in one vessel, even though at the bottom of the vessel there is a separation, since that separation doesn't go all the way up to the rim of that vessel, so above that separation they're touching, there certainly the kamitza from one part to the other will be valid. The Rambam learns that the way it worked with the chicken keli, erectus shotana goylem, was not that the separation was on the bottom. The separation was on the top. That means they combined on the bottom, and on the top they separated. And therefore, according to the Rambam, you have to have that on the bottom, on the surface of the vessel, all of the ingredients should be touching to be a valid kamitza. But if they're not touching each other on the surface of the vessel, the Rambam would hold that the Gemara may consider that also an unacceptable kamitza. Actually, this question is a very relevant question, because the halacha is that when you make a dough, you have to take challah, but the dough has to be a large enough dough. If the dough isn't a large enough dough, you need, there should be tzir of keli. The best example is when one bakes matzahs. When matzahs are baked, so they don't start off with such large doughs, that you should take challah from each separate dough. So what's done is, you have to put, only after the matzah is baked, and you have enough matzahs in one keli, then you take challah from all of those matzahs. But again, the issue there is that you have to be careful that all of those matzahs should be in one vessel with no separation between any of the matzahs. Because otherwise, as our Gemara very much is teaching us, if there's a separation, or moreover, if they're not touching each other, we may not be able to apply the concept of Tziruf Keli. Continues the Gemara. By Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Again, following the examples that we've been learning, and we've been discussing the halacha of Tziruf Keli. Ask the Gemara, Tziruf Keli, the Chibra Mayim. And as Rashi explains, what happened here was, as we started this year, we had half Isaron 1 in the A in the Keli. We have another half Isaron which we'll identify as B. And then we have outside of the Keli another half Isaron that is connected through water. And now A was Matam, A, the Tful Yoim touched Chatzi Isaron A. And the question is, certainly B will become Tame, that's the sugya that we've been learning today about Tziruf Keli. The question is, what will be the halacha regarding C? Mahu, kitnan, kli mitzar mash b'toichel l'kodesh, only what's within the vessel becomes Tame. Hani mila de gavoy, only what's within that vessel, abu de baroi loy, what's outside will not become Tame. I don't know, perhaps, kivin mechaber mechaber, as long as it's connected, it's connected. And as the Mefarshim explained, why would we think that it should be considered connected? So the Stipler explains that since we find in Halacha that water is considered a very strong connector, given that water in Halacha is considered a very strong connector, that's why the Gemara is considering that this Tumah should be able to spread to sea because of the water. Vimtim Tzolaymer. And if we'll indeed say that, even the mechaber, this water serves as a very strong connector, what would be the halacha, chiba mayim v'tziruf keli? On the contrary, where we had this sea became tamei, this sea is connected to B through water, and now the question is, now that B becomes connected to C, mau, will A become tamei? Because it's in the same keli as B. Now, Kitnat Kli Mitzarev, Hanimili the Nogim Agavoy. That's when all the Tumah emanates from within the Keli. Avam Avroy, here where the Tumah is emanating from outside the Keli, Loi. So indeed, maybe B will be Tumah, because B is connected to C, but that B will not have the ability to be Matama A, because A and B are in the same Keli. Idoma, or perhaps the halach is, as long as A and B are in the same Keli, Loi Shna, the halacha will be that A too will become Tamei, and the Gemara remains with a teiku on this question as well. Continue the Gemara. Boy Rava, Isaron Shecholku v'Nitma Echad Mehem. We have the case that we began this year, the Isaron that we need for Karban Mincha. This Isaron was divided into two, but unlike the case that we began our shiur with, that that one Isaron became Tamei, a Tfil Yoyim touched that Isaron, that half Isaron, what half Isaron became Tamei. The Tfil Yoyim only touched that half Isaron after it was in the Keli with the other half. Here, when it was deposited into the Keli, it was already Tamei. Isaron Shechalk v'nitma echem mehem, v'nicha v'bisa, and it was put into the Keli. And now, the Chazav Tfil Yoy v'nagabais Tamei. And the Tfil Yoy went and touched that half. Mahu. What was that wachah? And what is the basis of this question, says the Gemara? Mi amin in Savalei Tamalo. The way to understand the question is as follows. When is there a concept of Tumah? Explained the Mepharshim. The concept of Tumah is applicable when you're making, when you're accomplishing something. Here, this item was already Tameh. So the Tfil Yoyim touching this item has accomplished nothing, because it's already Tameh. Where do we say, considers the Gemara, the concept of Tziruf Keli? Perhaps we only say the concept of Tziruf Keli when the Tameh is touching, at least the part that he's touching, he's accomplishing something. But here, when he's touching this half, he's accomplishing nothing. It's already Tameh anyway. Therefore, that there is no din of Tziruf Keli. But ask the Mepharshim, haven't we said earlier that only something that belongs in the Kli Sharis is there a din of Tziruf Keli? This half of Isaron that's Tameh certainly cannot be brought as a Karban Mincha. And therefore, since it can't be brought as a Karban Mincha, it doesn't belong in the Kli Sharis. And we learned earlier on this very Amid that something that doesn't belong in the Kli Sharis doesn't have the din of Tziruf. To which the Mepharshim respond that since it once belonged in the Kli Sharis, it was once designated as a Karban Mincha, it's enough to be considered something that belongs in a Kli Sharis. So the question here is, do we say that it's satiated and therefore it's not susceptible to Tumah? And if it's not susceptible to Tumah, it cannot spread Tumah? Or do we not say so? Mepharshim go on to say that this has nothing to do with the issue of Issachal Issa. There are Mepharshim that want to say it's connected to Issachal Issa, but they say it really isn't connected to Issachal Issa. And the reason why it's not connected to Issachal Issa, they explain is as follows. Because by Issachal Issa, somebody does, it's Usser. Just these, there is an inability for the second Issa to be Chal, because it's already satiated. It certainly is considered a situation of Isser. However, in this situation, with Tumah, it's not a question of Isser, of doing something right or wrong. And if satiated with Tumah, there just may not be an ability for any more Tumah to be Chal here. Before we go further, a word of introduction. We've discussed many times that a Zov, who's Tameh, has a number of types of Tumah, and different halachas for those tumas. There's the regular tumah of magah. If a zav touches something, it becomes tameh. And the halacha of tumah, that if somebody who's an avat tumah touches something, that becomes a rishon l'tumah. And if that touches something further, it becomes a sheni l'tumah. Is all in place. But then there's a special type of tumah by zav called tumas medris. And tumas medris says that if something is meant to be sat on or laid on, if a Zav sits or lays on it, it becomes Tameh, not only becomes Tameh, but it becomes an Avatomah like the Zav himself. Moreover, the famous example of the Gemara always speaks about, let's say a Zav lays, you have a pile of mattresses, one on top of the other, and a Zav lays on top of that entire pile, all 10 mattresses will be Tameh with Avatomah. Ask the Gemara, is there a concept of Savalei Tumah but not? The Mishnah says, in Masech Tekeilah, Sadin Tameh, if you have a sheet that was Tameh with Tumas Medris, Vasavilan, and now you decided that you're not going to be using it for a sheet to lay on, you're now going to use it as a curtain, Tarmina Medris, and no longer has Tumas Medris. Machloikis Rishonim, if just the designation of it as a curtain makes it lose that status of being used for laying on and therefore not become a medrash, or does a physical act required to change it from being a sheet into a curtain? Avok, Tumas Magen Medrash. It still has a Tumas Magen Medrash. Om Rav Yossi, to which Rav Yossi says, Beis Medrash Nogazer, where is the Tumas Magen? The fact, as the Rishonim explained, that the that all of the strands of the sheet touch each other, that doesn't create Tumas Magen Medrash. Because Tumas Magen Medrash is only possible when it's visible. This would be Tumas Beis Hastarim. It's not a visible act of one part touching the other, and there is no Tumas Magen. Rather, what he means is, Shenogba Azov, Tumas Magen Azov. That if Azov will touch it, now it will become a Tumas Magazov. Well, what do we see here? Kinagaba Zov, when the Zov touches it, Mi Tameh, it becomes Tameh. Vafilu Lipsoif. It seems that this is the case, even if it was after the Zov laid on it. But the question is, how could it get a Tumas Maga if it already has on it a Tumas Magus? Leim Savale Tumah. It already has Tumah. And as we're learning, something that's Tameh cannot be Tameh again. Obviously, there is no concept of Savalei Tumah. Amalei says, who says to explain the Mishnah that way? That Shemnogaba Azov Lubasa Medris, that what happened was, first is, that it had a Tumas Medris, and then a Tumas Maga. Maybe what happened was, that Dilma Mekami Medris, before it became Tumas Medris, first it had a Tumas Maga, and then it got a Tumas Medris, where everybody would agree that the Tumas Medris, as we explained, is a much more stringent type of Tumah, that the second Tumah, that there we don't say Savoy Tumah, that the Tumah Chamura being Chal a Tumah Kala. But in the case, the Idi V'Idi Tumah Kala, the case that we began with, we already had the Tumah of a Tful Yoy, it cannot get Tumah again with a Tful Yoy, Loy. Says the Gemara, Elam Seifa. So Gemara tries from, Abai tries from the next part of the Mishnah. My Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi agrees, B'shnei Sedinim ha-mekupolim ha-munachim zel zeh, that we have two sheets, one on top of the other, the Yashin Zav aleihem, and the Zav sits on the top one, She'elyon is Tamei Tamei Madras, the Tachton is Tamei Madras u'Magi Madras. The bottom one has both in it a Tumas Maga and a Tumas Medris. But again, the question is, if it has already a Tumas Medris, Lema Savalei Tumasa, why does it also have a Tumas Maga? To which, so obviously, there is no concept of Savalei Tumah. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, says Robert, referring to a case where the two Tumas came about Achas. The Tumas Maga, the Tumas Masa came simultaneously. There, certainly, we don't say Savalei Tumah. Our case, however, is Bezach Azeh, and it could be Bezach Azeh, we say Savalei Tumah. Amar Rava, says Rava, Yisarin Shechalku, if a Yisarin was divided into two halves, Vava Echmehem, and somebody lost one half. Vifrish Achatachtav, so he went and he designated another half in its place. Benimtza Rishim, and then the first one was found. And as the Echorin pointed out, it has to be in a case where there was no Hesach Hadas. Because if there was Hesach Hadas, then of course it would become permanently disqualified. So now we have the three halves here. The original half that was never lost. The second half that was the, which the Gemara calls the Mufrish, which was the replacement half, and the Ovid, which is the half that was lost and now found. So Halach is Nitma Ovid, if the Ovid becomes Tame, and they're all in one Kelei Sharis. If the one that was lost becomes Tame, Ovid, that one is Tame, and the Rishon, which was always intended to combine with it, Amit Starif. But the Mufrish, which was never meant to be together with the lost one, because the Mufrish was only a replacement for the lost one, is not, even though it's in the same Keli, cannot combine with the Mufrish to become Tame. Or, similarly, Nitma Mufrish, if the replacement one becomes Tame, so Mufrish for Rishon Mitzdarfin, the Mufrish and the first one can combine. However, the Ovid, which is, as we just explained, never intended to be in the same Keli, Eimut Starif. Nitma Rishon, but if the first one becomes Tame, the first half, then it could have been a partner, both with the lost half or the newly designated replacement half, they're all both Mitzdarif. Abai disagrees. I feel a Nitma Echmehem Nami. It doesn't make a difference which one of these halves become Tame, Shnei Mitzdarifim. They all can combine. What is the basis of Abaya? My time, Kula B'nei Bixabad V'Dodi Minu. They all belong in the same, they're all part of the same Kavim Mincha, and since they're all part of the Kavim Mincha, that's enough to create a situation of Tzilus. However, the Karen Oira says, all of this discussion in the Gemara is if the Kohen has not specifically designated which halves he's going to use. Once the Kohen has made a decision which halves he's going to use, only those halves are considered the Kohen Mincha, and only those halves will combine, both in this case regarding the Toma, to combine for the next case, and the other half will not be part of the equation at all. And therefore, same thing. The Kohen and Kmitza. Regarding Kmitza, well, we have to take Kmitza from a holy sorrow. Kometzman of it, if Kmitza was taken from the half that was originally lost and then found, why do we consider the shirayim that may be eaten? The shirayim that's left over from that ovid part and the entire rishon are considered shirayim. The mufrish is not considered part of this karban mincha, and therefore, since it's not considered part of this karban mincha, there was no kindness removed from it, and it can't be eaten. And a nechel. Or similarly, according to Rava, comes from the mufrish. So the rest of the Mufrish is considered Shirayim. All of the first half is considered Shirayim, and therefore the Necholim. But the Ovid is not considered, according to Rava, part of this Karban Mincha, and a Necholim. Comments from the Rishon, if you take Kmitza from the first half, it's not Shneim and a Necholim, according to Rava. Why? Because Kmitza can only work for one Isarim. So we know that the Kmitza worked for the half of the Isarim, for the half of the Isarim from which the Kmitza was removed. But we have two other halves, and we don't know for which of those two halves was that Kmitza valid. And since we don't know, so we have to be machmer and not be able to eat either of those halves as shirayim. Abayomer, a feel comes mechmehem. Even in the previous cases where the Kmitza was taken from the ovud or from the mufrish, he holds shnei and mecholim. None of the other ones can't be eaten. Why? Because according to Baya, my Tama, Kulanam ibn Abiksadadadinin, they can combine. Even the Mufrish can combine with the Ovid can combine with the Mufrish, and therefore we always have the same concern that we just explained. Maskula Rava, Maskula Rapapa, ask Rapapa. This question is a question on all the cases that Abaya said, and to the question and on Rava, when the Kmitza was taken from the one half that was never lost or not the replacement half. Ask the Gemara, Vishrai the day me Necholim? Let's think about it, asks Rapapa. We have this kindness. We have this half of Isarim from which the kindness was removed. But ask the Gemara, the what happened here is we have three half Isarims for the kaimitz from which the kaimitz has to be done
in order that these halves should be able to be eaten. So therefore the kmitza relates to all three halves, even to the half that doesn't belong to this karban mincha. So now, when we took a kmitz from one half, let's use Rava's example. We took the kmitz from the one half that was always consistent part of the karban mincha. What does that kmitz represent? And I'm going to explain to Gemara the way the sheet explained to Gemara. That kmitz represents, that kmitz should be viewed as divided into three. It's a kmitz for its own, for this half of Yisarin. It's a kmitz for the mufrish half, and it's a mufrish half Yisarin, and it's a kmitz for the other half Yisarin. Ask the Gemara, but a kmitz, so we have here we have the kmitz with a third that doesn't belong here, and therefore that should disqualify the kmitz. And in fact, the Shita uses the word shlish instead of the words that the Gemara uses, dank, which means a sixth. And we're going to work with a third, because the explanation is that we have a kmitz that's supposed to be working only for two halves, working for three halves. And therefore, a third of this kmitz is disqualified. Another question. Maslow Ritz Reader Mashasha. The kumitz kofa echikara. Heikat tolosacholim. One third is not good. So the question here is a double question. It shouldn't permit the rest of this half to be eaten, and it shouldn't be a valid kaimitz in the other way either. To which Rashi responds, kaimitz bedat the kain talis milsa. No, we're learning wrong, says Rashi. We're assuming that when the person's taking the kaimitz, he's taking the kaimitz for all three halves. And therefore, we have a very valid question. A kaimitz could only be effective for one isarin, for two halves, not for three halves. So that's not what the kain means. The kmitza depends on the kain. And when the kain is taking the kaimitz, kaimitz bedata the kain talimalsa, the kaimitz keeps isarin kaimitz. He only has in mind two halves. He doesn't have in mind three halves. And therefore, the kaimitz is a valid kaimitz. And since the kaimitz is a valid kaimitz, the rest of that half can be eaten. The only issue, according to Baya, is what is the other half? We have no way of knowing which is the other half, and therefore the other two halves are my problem. But this kaimitz is a valid kaimitz, and the rest of the mincha that from this half that wasn't used for the kaimitz will also be considered valid.